I had the pleasure of meeting our next guest who's sitting across from me, Mo Gerhardt. Somewhere, we were trying to figure out, somewhere around 10 years ago, I think he stalked me. Is that accurate?
That's pretty accurate. Yeah. That's pretty accurate. It was that pesky mosquito in your ear, as I like to say.
Not in the bad stalkings, but he had a story to tell about wheelchair hockey. And he kept saying, you know, you got to come see this wheelchair hockey. And I participate in wheelchair hockey. And you should just, and eventually I did, because he was so sincere and he painted such an interesting story. I said, okay. And I came out to a game. As I recall, it was at a gym.
Beachwood Recreational Center?
Yeah. And it was insane. And these guys were
moving it.
Moving it.
Yeah.
And Mo was really good. And his team was part of a national tournament at the time. And this is like 10 years ago already. But they were very, very good. And that struck up what I like to think of as a friendship. I hope you feel the same way. Between myself and Mo over the course of the last 10 years. And I've watched Mo become an incredibly powerful role model and example of how people can overcome even what seemed to be the most dire of circumstances. You were 8 years old when the doctors diagnosed you with something called Duchenne muscular dystrophy, and their prognosis went what?
At that time, I was told I'd be lucky to live beyond my teens, early 20s at the longest. And you know, we were talking, I'm 34 years old right now, so obviously
you almost double them already.
Exactly, and I don't have any plans of stopping anytime soon. So
now the process was a slow, kind of gradual one for you of what you would lose. Just kind of walk us through by 8, by 9, by 12, by the...
Sure, it wasn't something that just all of a sudden when I was 8 I contracted. It was something I was born with, but all the muscular dystrophies, there's actually 40 different kinds. They're all different muscle wasting disorders, and so they all progress at different speeds. And I was, like I said, when I was 8 years old and I was diagnosed at that point, I played athletics, but I was always like the slowest one on the soccer field, or you know, had trouble throwing the ball across the diamond, and different things like that, which were sort of signs that something wasn't right, but my coordination was all there, so it was nothing hand-eye. So my parents just, you know, they looked into it. Luckily, they were very proactive, was able to go to see different doctors, different therapists, eventually had some biopsies done, and through that, that's when the diagnosis was actually became official.
And the thing that I found so remarkable and so courageous on your part is you're told at age 8, basically, things are just going to get worse for you. When you're a kid, your whole philosophy is things are going to get better for me. You got the absolute opposite diagnosis and slowly lost the ability to do this and then this and then this, some of which the things were what? Like by a certain age you couldn't do this. And
I was fully ambulatory and walking up till the end of my junior year in high school,
right.
But it's the little things that sort of get taken away. It's, you know, where it's you struggle to brush the back of your hair or to reach a glass that's high up in a cupboard, different things like that, which you honestly everyone takes for granted.
Sure.
But it's that type of atmosphere or that type of disability that's taken away where it becomes painful, because it's one thing if just you wake up and all of a sudden if you're in an accident, and that's not to minimize anything like that too,
right.
But when you can gradually see things that you were once able to do and those get pulled away from you,
right.
That's where it becomes difficult.
And I remember talking to you about how you fought the idea that you were going to get in a chair. I am not getting in that chair. I'm not getting in that wheelchair. I'm not, you know, I'm going to keep standing up. And then there's one day where you just don't have the choice anymore, right?
Right. For me, it was I actually had a very bad fall and I fractured my femur. But you're right, it was at a period in my life. I mean, I was in high school, and when you're in high school, what are the things that matter? It's how you look, it's what other people think about you. And here I was going through these transitions where I didn't want to I wasn't psychologically comfortable making that decision, and all of a sudden it was almost taken away from me. I might joke about it now and say, well, yeah, my fractured femur was the best thing that happened because
right.
It was taken out of my hands. But that was sort of the flip of the switch at that point where, I mean, I remember the last day that I was walking, and then that next day for me, it was a full transition into a wheelchair for full time.
We're talking to Mo Gerhardt here. Now, Mo has a book that he has been working on, I think, pretty much from the day I met him. And if that was so, then it's 10 years in the making. It's a wonderful book. I've read it in its different stages. Mo was kind enough to let me see it as he was going along with it. And it's got a great title. It's called Perspective from an Electric Chair. Now, I say the accent that way because if you say Perspective from an Electric Chair, it sounds like you're being executed. Mm-hmm. But Perspective from an Electric Chair, which is really a perfect title because it is about how you can view the world from your circumstances. You're in a chair right now, and yet you are one of the most unfailingly optimistic people I think I know here in the state of Michigan. How are you able to keep that kind of attitude?
Well, it's a couple things, and you're right. The value or the title itself, I joke now, I can say that's for shock value, and once again, there's even a pun yeah. in that itself, but you're right. There is the literal interpretation of the perspective from being in a wheelchair because it's like you're in a waist-high world. You know, you're going around and constantly looking up and trying to reach things that are much higher than what someone that's standing. So there is that literal interpretation of perspective from an electric chair. But then there's also that more than intrinsic value of having that perspective and then also twisting it, because when people think of the electric chair, think of being a death sentence.
Right.
But that's not what my perspective is. It's, to me, without my wheelchair, you know, I'd be stranded. I wouldn't be able to get anywhere. So to me, it's very advantageous for me to embrace my wheelchair because it is a major part of my life. As far as just the whole attitude itself, one sort of little mantra that I've developed for myself is just that it's not your diagnosis that determines your outcome. We're all going to have our ups and downs. I mean, there's going to be good days. There's going to be bad days. And I'd be lying if I said I always had good days. There are the downs. But it's, what do you do with that perspective? What do you do to actually go on to get to that next day, to have goals, to have aspirations and dreams that hopefully one day you can reach and really fulfill?
And I should point out that Mo has done that. I mean, Mo has done color commentary for the MSU women's basketball team. He works in a department up at Michigan State right now. He worked in the athletic department for a stretch of time, and now you're in a more serious, more important division, right?
That's right. I work more on the academic side now with the College of Natural Sciences. I'm actually an academic advisor for students that are looking to go into the pre-med or pre-dental fields.
And Mo's book, by the way, Perspective from an Electric Chair, you can get through his website at mogerhardt.com. I'm going to spell that for you, M-O-G-E-R-H-A-R-D-T. MoGerhardt.com. It's also sold in some stores around the state, and but this is the fastest way that you can get it. And we'll throw something up on our website as well that'll connect you to it. Mo, M-O, Gerhardt, G-E-R-H-A-R-D-T.com. Now, what I am always curious about with people who have this great perspective like you do and have been hit with this terrible disease, which renders you basically, you need help getting in and out of the chair. You need help getting dressed, correct? You need help, even just when we began the interview, I was saying, just move the microphone over. He said, well, I might need a little help with that. And I foolish me, I forgot that, well, your hands function to a degree, but not to the degree you necessarily grab everything and move it around. Someone else has to do that for you. How do you go through a work life like you do, where you go into MSU, you're working alongside people who are blessed with this enormous health from your perspective. It's like, wow. And they complain about their problems. How do you keep from jumping out of your chair, you know, figuratively and literally, and saying, are you kidding me?
One of the classic ones I love is when I'll be, you know, obviously in my chair and someone will be next to me and they're like, oh, I've just been sitting so long. I need to get up and stretch. And, you know, it's like, okay, you've been there, what, maybe 30 minutes?
Right.
And I've been in since, you know, 6 a.m. in the morning, and here it is 3 in the afternoon. Right. And I just sort of, you know, I try not to give them an evil eye because I'm not mad or anything, but I'm almost wondering in their heads if they're thinking, oh, my gosh, what did I just say? Did
right.
I, you know, just then put my foot in my mouth? Yeah. You know, there's that perspective. But honestly, I see myself as just breaking down barriers, chipping away at a wall. We all sort of are familiar with that Charles Barkley quote that where he came out and said, you know, I'm not a role model, or athletes aren't role models.
Right.
I very much disagree with the choice of being a role model. Sometimes I think it's put upon ourselves and it's our responsibility to do well with that. And I really feel that as a person with a disability in a wheelchair, I'm a role model for younger children that are just newly diagnosed or for parents that have just had a child that's diagnosed with a disability. I honestly didn't have someone like that that I could look up to when I was a kid growing up, and that was a void in my life. And I want to be that person for those new kids that are recently diagnosed, or for parents that have been told, you know, their children are only going to live by a certain age.
Right.
I want to prove to them that that's not true. You can still make it.
Or double it
exactly.
And keep going. We'll continue our conversation. Mo Gerhardt here. Again, his book is called Perspective from an Electric Chair. MoGerhardt.com is the website to find out more about him. MoGerhardt.com. Let's take a look at the traffic. Here's Peggy Hodge with the Big 7. Peggy.